public hearing is subdivision 2018-20, Tanager Woods, Joseph A. Street, Nina Street, Jasmine Street, and Andrew Street.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 103.321 acres into 173 single-family lots to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being Indian River, Hundred Sussex County. The properties are lying on the east side of Wilking Road, approximately 0.43 miles south of Kendall Road, and also being on the west side of Robinsonville Road, approximately 0.47 miles south of Kendall Road. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 6, Parcel 58, and Parcel 85. The zoning district is AR1 Agriculture Residential District and GR General Residential District. Staff would submit for the record an exhibit booklet and a subdivision plan. This application also went through PLUS, and submitted is also the applicant's response, the PLUS response letter. We also have comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the Methane and Addressing Department, DENREC Division of Air Quality, Waste and Hazardous Substances. We also have comments from DelDOT, Delaware Electric Co-op, the Fire Marshal, Public Health Office of Drinking Water, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Public Works Department, the Department of Ag, and the NRCS. Thank you.
Well, we thank you. Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Commission members, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Sussex County, and I'm representing the applicant, Brighton Homes of Delaware LLC. With me are Dan Smith in the second row here on behalf of Brighton Homes, and Jason Papowitz of Solutions IPEM. As Janelle stated, there was an exhibit book submitted for the record containing a summary of the proposed subdivision and some supporting documents, including the applicant's PLUS response, the Section 99.9C subdivision report, and an environmental assessment and public facilities report. And just to avoid any confusion, this is actually two parcels. That's only one of the parcels, and there's the other parcel. So it's really the subdivision actually fronts on Robinsonville Road on the other parcel, and then this is actually the parcel to the rear.
Our technology doesn't allow us to click on two at one time.
Someday they're going to figure that out.
Yeah, we got this. Baby steps.
I just wanted to make sure there's not confusion.
That's
there.
True.
As stated, this is an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision to be called Tanager Woods. The application, as filed, proposed 173 single-family lots. There were actually some modifications done to the site plan, and the actual proposed number of lots, as shown on the site plan that was submitted, is 168 lots, so it's actually slightly less than the application stated. The property does contain 103 acres of land. It's a combination, as you've seen, of two adjacent parcels, and the land consists of farmland, woodlands, and non-tidal wetlands. The site is located on the west side of Robinsonville Road. It's approximately a half a mile south of Kendall Road. You can see all the way to the left up there, there's actually a narrow strip of the property on the extreme western side that actually extends out to Wilking Road. The site is currently zoned AR1, with the exception of that strip area, which is actually in a GR zoning district. It may be clearer to describe the location as being basically across Robinsonville Road from the Tidewater Landing development, which is a 213 lot subdivision on the east side of Robinsonville Road, which is currently under construction. And Tidewater Landing is adjacent to the Stream's Edge parcel, which was the site that was under DENREC, a DENREC remediation agreement that was before you back in August. So I'm sure you remember this location. So we're on the other side of the road. We have nothing to do with the remediation sites.
To be clear.
The land for our proposed subdivision is zoned AR1, and as you know, a single family cluster subdivision with a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet is a permitted use in that zone, provided that the development is served by central sewer and water. This development will be provided with central water for domestic use and fire protection by Tidewater Utilities, a regulated public utility company, and Tidewater holds a certificate of public convenience and necessity to provide water service in this area. The development will have central sewer as part of the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. The site adjoins the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District and will be annexed into the district. Sussex County Engineering Department comments state that the proposed project is within system design assumptions for sewer service, and sewer capacity is available for the development. Force main tie-ins points are also available. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with NREC regulations, and of course will be reviewed and approved by Sussex Conservation District. All stormwater on site will be directed into road and storm drain networks on the property. They will collect the water and direct it to a series of stormwater ponds for treatment and discharge using best management practices. And Janelle, could you put the subdivision back up for a second? Or not for a second, but just put it back up. A soils report was prepared by Geotechnology Associates, Inc. To determine the depth of groundwater and infiltration rates on the site. Based on the report, the depth to seasonal high groundwater varies from 3 feet to 10 feet below grade, and a significant portion of the site has good to excellent infiltration rates, making the site well suited for development. A wetland delineation was performed by Watershed Eco LLC. That did indicate that there were 32.3 acres of non-tidal wetlands located in two areas on the site. One is a smaller area near the entrance, and you can see that is a green area to the right. And then a larger area covering kind of the southwest portion of the site. No wetlands will be disturbed by the development, and there will be a minimum buffer of 20 feet from any lot line and any wetland area. Under the FEMA flood zone maps, the property is located in flood zone X, which are areas outside of the 2% annual chance floodplain. There are no archaeological sites or National Register listed properties or structures on the property, nor are there any threatened or endangered species associated with the site. In accordance with the provisions of DLDOT's Development Coordination Manual, the applicant will contribute an area-wide study fee in lieu of doing a traffic impact study. DLDOT does reserve the right to require a traffic operational analysis if it identifies a need for a TOA in its plan review process. DLDOT will require the applicant to contribute to an existing DLDOT project in that area. That project involves two intersections, the intersection of Camp Arrowhead Road and Route 24, and the intersection of Robinsonville Road, Angola Road, and Route 24. And then also that includes the segment of Route 24 that connects those two intersections. The construction of that project is scheduled to be completed in 2022. In addition, the applicant will be required to dedicate additional right-of-way along Robinsonville Road on the frontage to provide a 30-foot right-of-way from the road center line. The applicant will be required to widen Robinsonville Road along the site frontage to provide 11-foot travel lanes with 5-foot shoulders. Also to provide a 15-foot easement along the right-of-way of Robinsonville Road and construct a shared use path, and to construct the development entrance in accordance with DLDOT requirements, which will include right and left turn lanes from Robinsonville Road. And these improvements are similar to the improvements that are required for Tidewater Landing, and they're currently under construction. If you drove out there, they were working out there today on those. The site is located in the Cape Henlopen School District and in the fire service area of the Lewis Volunteer Fire Department. As to the subdivision itself, the permitted gross density as an AR1 cluster subdivision on 103 acres would be 206 single-family lots, or a density of 2 lots per acre. As I stated, we're actually proposing 168 single-family lots, which results in a gross density of 1.63 lots per acre. The entrance to the development, as I said, will be from Robinsonville Road and will be designed and constructed in accordance with LDOT requirements. As I mentioned, although that the strip or the tail does connect to Wilking Road, there will be no access at that location to Wilking Road due to, as you can see, that tail is separated from the development part of the site by wetlands. So you'd have to go through wetlands to actually have an entrance back there. The entrance and exit lanes coming into the development will be separated by landscape median, and there'll be stormwater ponds located on the north and south sides of the entrance road adjacent to Robinsonville Road, which will create an attractive appearance along the road frontage. As far as the perimeter of the site, there are several buffer and setback requirements that can be confusing, so I'll try to clearly summarize them. There is a required 20-foot forested buffer required adjacent to land of other ownership. There is also a 30-foot forested buffer required adjacent to land in agricultural use. So we have a minimum 30-foot buffer around the entire property. So it, even where it's not agricultural, so that's a minimum a 30-foot buffer. There's also a 50-foot setback requirement for any residential structure from land of others in agricultural use. So in other words, you can't build a residence within 50 feet of ag land. So what we're providing is a 50-foot buffer. So it's not just a setback. There's actually going to be a 50-foot buffer from any lot lines to any agricultural lands. And then, of course, that 30-foot buffer will be within that 50-foot buffer. And then, as you know, no lot lines can contain non-tidal wetlands, but there is no buffer required from non-tidal wetlands. And as I mentioned earlier, the development design will provide a voluntary minimum 20-foot buffer between any lot lines and any wetland areas. And that 20-foot, as I said, is the minimum. That's the smallest. In most places, it's considerably more than that. And you know, every property is different, but with the design of this subdivision and the relatively low density of 1.63 lots that are being proposed, the design was able to provide buffers that significantly exceed the zoning ordinance required buffers. As I said, the development will contain 168 single-family lots. All but about seven of the lots actually border some type of open space. The lot sizes range from 8,500 square feet to about 12,100 square feet, and the average lot size is about 9,000 square feet. Including the 32 acres of undisturbed non-tidal wetlands, there will be a total of 61 acres of open space, which is about 59% of the site. The subdivision streets will be private. They will be built to Sussex County design standards with curbs and gutters, sidewalks on both sides of the streets, and appropriate non-intrusive street lighting. The streets will be tree-lined, and there will be landscaping in the appropriate common areas. Just inside the entrance, there is an approximate 1.5 acre parcel located, again, right as you're coming in the entrance there, and that will be the community recreational area. The recreational area will include, at a minimum, an outdoor swimming pool with a surrounding deck area, a community clubhouse with a minimum of 2,500 square feet of floor area that will also have porches around it, and there'll be a multi-use court which could be used for tennis or pickleball, and also a playground. And we are requesting that the recreational items would need to be completed prior to the issuance of the 80th building permit. The subdivision will have a homeowners association, and of course it'll be comprised of all lot owners. The association will be responsible for collecting assessments, enforcing the community restrictions, and maintaining the development streets, entrances, buffers, landscaping, recreational areas, stormwater management facilities, and all the common areas. It's anticipated that the development would be constructed in approximately five phases, and I will submit to you proposed conditions and findings that I prepared for your consideration. And believe it or not, that will conclude my presentation, other than any questions you may have.
Nicely.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
You know what I'm going to ask, even though you've given us a whole presentation about why I shouldn't ask this. So, really, it's all non-tidal wetlands between there and Wilking Road. You can't even put a construction road in there because I'm telling you, the people in there are going to say, how come we can't go out Wilking Road?
You want me to encroach into the wetlands? You want my client to encroach and destroy the wetlands?
There's got to be like a little piece in there that's not wetlands you could put this on.
All that green is wetland. And to be honest with you, I haven't seen this, but I think that little strip is maybe one of the neighbors out there is kind of utilizing that for something. So
I was driving up and down Wilking Road yesterday trying to figure out where it was.
I think it might be. We're not going to cause any problems there. We can't use it. It's kind of, I guess it was a farm entrance at one time or something. I don't know what it was because it's wetlands. Yes.
I was trying to figure out where it was in conjunction to where the radio station is out there. So.
On Wilking, I get lost on Wilking, I don't know, yeah. But I think in this situation, there is no way you could have that entrance.
Alrighty then. Okay, then that was, in the paperwork, there was something about archaeological consultants to review the property. Did you hire one or did somebody look at it? There was a recommendation that you do that in the plus comments or one of these pieces of paper that I read through.
I don't recall that. I don't recall it.
The only reason I recall it is because I write notes when I do that.
Do you know, was that in the plus comments?
Okay, I should have. I think it was plus comments. So let me. Sorry about that I should have written down where I read it. It's just as I go through, I write down questions I have. So. I'm assuming that's, no, you haven't.
If you saw something, I'm not familiar with it. Perhaps you're confusing with another application. I'm not aware of anything on this. I mean, obviously this is wetlands and farm, and it's all, the rest of it's cleared farmland.
Right.
And that's the first, I don't recall reading anything about that. Unless we stuck something in the book.
I was going to say.
So the State Historic Preservation Office regarding it from the plus states that they don't support development level 4. There are no known archaeological sites or known National Register listed or eligible properties on the parcel. If the project or development proceeds, the developer should be aware of unmarked human burials and human skeletal remains law. So they'll have to comply with that. And then disturbing unmarked graves or burials triggers, again, that state law. That's what they stated in the plus letter.
All right.
It's pretty standard.
That's just normal.
So that one wasn't. All right, never mind. Maybe I crossed my eyes when I was reading.
Let me qualify probably what you saw. Okay. It says SHPA does not support it, and then you would logically think there's a reason. SHPA doesn't support anything in level 4.
They don't support anything.
And again, as you know, level 4 is a state investment policy. That's where state says they're going to spend money. And that document, the state strategies document, specifically says land use decisions are made by the county or a municipality, and it's not a land use plan. So that's a standard comment if you're in a level 4.
Right.
We're not aware of anything.
Okay. Thank you. But the only other thing I had is, I think you answered that. You're giving a 15-foot easement to Del Dot on the front.
Well, we're going to widen the right-of-way to have a 30-foot from center line and then a 15-foot easement. And that will be for a shared-use path, which, as you know, is going to take a while for these to all connect up someday. And obviously, we don't have a lot of frontage there, so, you know, but it'll be that much done.
Just wanted to make sure they had enough space to expand as they needed to.
Yes.
All right. That was all I had. Thank you.
Mr. Hudson.
That was my question about the entrance right there. Was the width. So you're actually giving...
We're going to give them right-of-way and the easement, which is pretty standard with LDOT now. I mean, everything I've seen is they're requiring that.
Okay. I have no other questions. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Hoffman.
No questions at this time.
Okay. Ms. Wingate.
Just one. What's the distance from Robinsonville Road to Lot 1, where the first lot starts?
I think it's maybe 150 feet. Jason, can you... I actually checked that myself, but for that first lot, there's only the lots on the north side there. That's the closest lot.
Looks like you have some nice open space there. I don't know if it's intended to be a stormwater management pond. It doesn't say that, but... Oh, it does say that. I'm sorry.
Mr. Palkowitz said it's over 150 feet, so it's a minimum 150 feet. So it sets back pretty far from the road.
That's all my, I have. Thank you.
Okay, then. Staff to my right, any questions?
No, thank you.
No, thank
okay,
you.
All right.
Yeah.
Ms. Cornwell, anything for the applicant?
Not at this time.
Okay. Counselor?
No, not at this time. But, well, let me ask, the lot widths, what's the lot widths? I'm like looking at lot one and lot two.
It's on sheet 9.
What is it?
Yeah, no, okay.
72 and a half?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thanks. That's all the questions I had.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Chukwe, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-20, Tanager Woods? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2018-20? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is William Spitzig. I reside at 20189 Will King Road, which is adjacent to the little strip of land. And I'm not particularly opposed to the development. I am neither for or against it, but I am concerned with what may or may not be done with that little strip of land. I live on the adjacent to the Will King Road frontage of this property, and it is indeed my driveway that is on that strip of land. That's my residence where I rent. I also own the property immediately to this strip's south at 20205 Will King Road. So I'm on both sides of that strip of 30 or 40 feet, and I'm just concerned that, I mean, I would like to know what plans, if any, are intended for that strip. Is it intended to be a utility access in any way? And what are or are not its permitted uses? Those are my concerns.
So there was testimony that it wouldn't be used for access because it looks like that itself may be wetlands, but there's a pretty wide expanse of wetlands from that point to the rest of the development. Mm-hmm. We can condition it too that it won't be used for anything. Probably a question for Mr. Fuqua and his engineers, though, about if they've had discussions about utilities. I suspect there's not any utilities going through there, but we can find that out.
That would be my concern. I realize it's not not wide enough for direct access to the development, but I'm concerned with any utility vehicles and any other uses.
Right. The utilities I'm thinking of would be like a sewer line or something like that. But
oh, I'm not concerned about sewer lines. I'm concerned about trucks.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, we can certainly find that out, Mr. Wiggins.
Okay. So, and on that strip, there are very, very old, hundreds of year old trees, which would probably have to be removed in order for it to be of any use. And I would be concerned with what became of those old trees and so on.
We'll find out.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Fuqua, would you like to respond to the gentleman's? No, you take a seat, sir. Hold on. You need to sit down. You need to sit down. You need to address us, and he can listen in.
There is no plans for that. There would be no utilities coming through there for the same reason. There'd be no access because you'd have to go through the wetlands. And quite honestly, the best thing I can think about doing with that is talking to Mr. Spitzig and selling it to him or working out something with him.
He's nodding his head behind you.
I think that would be
my car.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir. Come on up.
My name is Josh Gordon at 20503 Wilking Road. That development butts up to our property, which is an active airstrip. Can I move this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here, let me get to the aerial.
Just about where your mouse is. Right here. To the right, a little further, right there. Those hangars were built in 1950. The Civil Air Patrol kept their aircraft there from 1950 to 1974. And again, it is an active airstrip. So I was wondering what kind of buffer will they allow for that?
That is a reasonable question.
Where is the property?
So is there still planes flying in and out of there?
Yes.
Okay.
How often?
Pretty regularly.
How often would you guess?
Well, my brother flies.
Daily? I mean...
Weekly.
Yeah, so they'd be would they be taken off and landing, taking off over top of that development?
Yes.
Okay, that is something that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. Fuqua, would you like to?
Yep.
Yeah.
About that one.
Okay, yeah, that stormwater pond is pretty much located where that slope is there. If you can blow that up a little bit, maybe it might be better to see.
Okay, I can see the airstrip here on Google Earth. See the green part of it?
Oh, yeah, look at that. I'll be done.
So, I mean, that's from where it is. It pretty much comes in over the stormwater pond.
Well, my request would be then that you put something in the covenants or the sale documents that says you're next to an active airport and airstrip. And
we need to put in the covenants the agricultural use notice,
right?
And,
yeah.
And we can certainly, yeah, that would be
add
logical.
That
we've
that
done
in,
that before,
and you can make that a condition.
Yeah,
of approval.
Make sure that's there so that later on, I mean, they're going to complain, but at least they could say, well, you signed off on it.
Well, as long as they know about it.
Yeah,
you know, that's to me seems to take care of it, because what Mr. Wharton, I'm sure, does not wish to have, nor does he deserve, is me to have to deal with a development full of angry people because he's using his property the way he's been using it for years. So
I would suggest in the conditions you do a similar condition to the ag use.
Yeah.
Stating that it must be in the restrictions and it must be in all contracts. So,
yeah.
Just so there's, then the Planning and Zoning Commission has given notice or made the applicant give notice.
I would recommend Mr. Wharton put a sign up somewhere at the edge of his strip, too, that says, by the way, folks.
free rides?
Yeah.
You know how long that airstrip is?
I just did it on Google Earth. It's about 1,300 or 1,400 square feet, or feet long, rather.
1,300 feet.
1,400.
Is it 1,400? Okay.
All right, anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
Good evening, my name is Richie Thurman. I live at 20182 Robinsonville Road. Mm-hmm. Based on this map, it would be the larger of the two green strips, basically directly across from Tidewater. My concern is we've never had water lay in the fields or directly along the roadway. And once Tidewater started adjusting the roads and putting in their stormwater management system, the first rain, we had 2 feet of water over the road. 2 feet of water on both sides of the road, and it went over by 4 inches. After contacting DelDOT, they came out and changed a few things, but this seems to be where anytime we have any excessive rain at all in a short period of time, the road and the fields now seem to flood. Now, if you look, it doesn't appear that they've changed a whole lot on the property. By looking at it, it didn't seem like they changed a whole lot on the property, but it certainly changed the amount of watershed that we were having directly into the area. As they expand that, it's going to expand 5 feet onto our property. My question and concern is, with just how developments go, the property, I'm assuming they would raise the lots, because the area that it looks like it's in right now is a low portion on the back side of the field. And the concern is, if they raise the lots to go above that, the drainage is all going to move towards the back sides of my property. Right now, basically, the field slopes, tapers down right there, and then tapers back up. So I'm only getting half the drainage from the field. I'm sure they're going to say their stormwater management system contains all that to the northwest side there. But that is a concern, one, along the roadway, since obviously traffic is greatly increased on that road. The second question is more of a question. Is the Tidewater utility going to come down Robinsonville Road and then connect in? Because right now it stops at Will King. Robinsonville Road has been tore up for 18 months, 24 months at this point. And so I'm curious on when they're going to finish Tidewater construction and then immediately start tearing it up again for the next development. It is annoying. It's frustrating. You have to constantly shut down the road, go to single lane, day in and day out. I think a lot of people, myself included, moved out that area so you would have, and I understand developments are good for the county, it's good for my business, but it's also expanding out into an area that you felt like you were getting a little bit out of town. So it's just a concern of adding in a development. I have no problem with the area that it's in. I do have a concern that the next, will they put a development in between my property and that one? So I would gladly see this development go in if I'm not going to end up having houses directly behind my property. So those are a few of my concerns. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Fuqua, do you or Mr. Palkowitz want to speak to the utility issue?
Good evening. Jason Palkowitz with Solutions IPM. As far as the utilities, it was the water line question, where the water line is coming from. The water line, is my understanding from TUI, it's coming down Robinsonville Road and it's going to end at Tidewater. We're going to have to extend it to our property.
Where's the sewer coming from? Is that in?
There's two options for sewer connection. It could be all the way up at the end of Robinsonville Road, but since they build Tidewater, we can tie it to their system. Okay.
Would you be raising up lots to make to build on them, to make them buildable?
The lots themselves, I would imagine, would be raised. However, we would have drainage in the rear yard, which is one of the reasons why I have that larger buffer, to provide drainage to capture the water off the back of the lots and any water that currently runs towards the site.
And one of the things, too, this is kind of one of the earlier ones, I guess, since we went through that whole exercise with amending all the drainage requirements, they're going to have to do a lot more specific drainage design on the site, not even dealing with stormwater management ponds, but bulk grading and then individual lot draining plans. And that gets even checked after the home's built to make sure everything is designed so it drains, but more importantly, is actually built so it drains correctly. So there's a lot more technical work and monitoring that goes into that now than even, say, last year.
What recourse do people have, though, if it doesn't work?
Well, I'm going to back up and say there was a lot of people that were concerned that it wasn't working, and that's what led to these new standards. So the hope is that we're not going to run into situations where it doesn't work anymore, because, again, it's a lot more technical, not only on the front end with designing it, but on the back end with the county inspections of it. Recourse would be primarily to the Sussex Conservation District. It depends on what it is. If it's drainage in the roads, that's sort of county engineering. If it's stormwater management ponds and things, that's the Conservation District. But there's recourse there if it doesn't work. But like I said, the goal is now, because of all these new requirements that have gone in, to avoid that completely, because everybody was tired of getting all those complaints in the past.
I would imagine.
Yeah, right. I mean, everybody, the county, conservation district, developers, engineers, everybody. We needed to improve that whole process.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? All right, then. Does anyone on the commission have any further questions? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.
Thank you.